Father, for just the blessings of the day, the things that we could enjoy in you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the way your Spirit has worked in hearts even this past week to draw one unto yourself. We pray, Lord, that this one might grow in grace and in the knowledge of you, and faith might grow as we encourage her to have some Bible studies and to get into the Word for herself. We pray that you would minister to us this evening. How we thank you for this time set aside. We pray that what's said and done would truly glorify you. In your name I pray. Amen. I knew that I had some weeks ago, months ago, on a Sunday evening or two, we had shared some things that we would never do in the future. There were some future things that we would never do. I checked through my records. It was back in August, and let me just refresh your memory. We had said back in August, here are four things that we will never do as a Christian. We will never die. We will never perish. We will never, in the future, when we have our resurrected body, we will never suffer or endure pain or ever shed another tear. We'll never cry. And lastly, and this perhaps was one of the best ones that we looked at, we will never sin again. Won't that be something? When our Lord calls for us and we are resurrected and we have that body like his, we will be done with it forever. Well, we're not going to look at those again. We gave specific references in Scripture to really back that up. But this evening, I want to flip that around, and I would like us to look at some things this evening that we can say with certainty in the future. Four things we will do. Are you interested? I hope so. Four things we will do. If you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, and some of these even apply to somebody who doesn't know the Lord as their own personal Savior. Well, what could it be that we could say, that we could with certainty say, here's something that I know for sure that I will do. Number one, you ready? I might not die, but I will be changed. I might not die, but I will be changed. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we know that we have an appointment, don't we? It tells us there, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well, then, if it says that we are appointed unto men once to die, why did you give us this first point by saying, I might not die? Because Scripture gives us the exception to that, doesn't it? When our Lord comes again for his own. Generally speaking, everybody is going to die, but there will be exceptions. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look beginning at verse 51. Remember, what's this first point? our first point that we can say with certainty, here's something I will do in the future. I might not die, but I will be changed. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. This has nothing to do with laying your head down on a beauty rest mattress at night. When we look at this, we know that, scripturally speaking, this sleep is referring to what? Death. I give you two examples that come instantly to the top of my head here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul was talking about some of the offenses of the Corinthian believers and their disrespect and the shameful way in which the Lord's table had deteriorated to become nothing but a drunken event, Paul, in talking to them, said, "For this cause, many of you are weak and sickly, and some what? Some sleep." God's judgment was upon that Corinthian congregation. And what Paul was saying is that this disregard for the Lord's table is so important, and you people have so disgraced your observance of it. Some of you, you're weak. Some of you, you're dealing with actually physical ailments. Some of you are weak. Some of you are sickly. And he says, I'll tell you what, some of you, God was so disgusted, if I could use that word, with, you have been such a dishonor to his name that God has just simply taken you out of this life prematurely. Some of you have died in this congregation. But the word Paul uses is some sleep. John chapter 11 is another example where scripturally we see in the New Testament it's talking about death. When it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, we shall not all sleep. Remember when Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus and said, Master, come, our brother Lazarus is dead, but he delayed for 2 days even leaving where he was. And when he finally decided to go, the Lord Jesus said, we're going to go. And he began in the conversation. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. The disciples thought Simmons beauty rest. They thought, you know, when you're sick, one of the best ways that you can recover is to get a lot of what? Get a lot of rest. And even the disciples, they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. They said, well, that's good. You know, he's been sick, and if he's sleeping now, he's going to get stronger. And the Lord said, Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to go that I might bring him back to life once again. Back to our text, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. I might not die, but I will be changed. Paul wrote, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Hold your finger there. Flip a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to go back to that Colossians account. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Paul wrote, This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto or at the time of the coming of the Lord. Wait a minute. What's Paul saying here? We're not all going to die. There will be believers, true believers, alive on this earth when our Lord comes for the event we call the rapture of the church. We say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Look at verse 17, the first part of it. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So, back to our 1 Corinthians, as we think of this first point of something that we can say for certain I will do, I might not die, but I surely will be changed. Look at 51 now of 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. What does it mean, changed? What does it mean, changed? What's that? We're going to get our new body. We're going to get what we've been waiting for, aren't we? The end of the pain, the suffering, the sin. We're going to have a new body like unto whose? Whose? Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. How's this going to take place? Verse 52. It's going to take place. Is this going to be a gradual thing? Is this going to be something, oh yeah, that's been taking place now. Let's see, it's been going on about 2 years, 6 months, and 7 days. You know, this change that's been... No. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. There's those who have died in Christ. And we, here it is again, we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Corruptible shall put on incorruption. That's kind of a poor way to speak of our bodies, isn't it? No, not really. Not really. Let's just be honest. I'm thankful for the body that the Lord has given me, but you know what? It's wearing out. It's getting hurts and aches, and the joints bite and bark back at me when I try to do things that used to never give a second thought to. It's what? It is growing older. It's wearing out. It's an incorruptible body, but we're going to get one that is, I mean, it is a corruptible body, pardon me. But we're going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This is part of the change. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The grave is not going to be able to hold us any longer. We're going to leave it behind. Jerry and I, a couple of months ago, went out, picked out our cemetery plots. We invested in the first piece of real estate in our married lives. We own some property now. But you know what? That's not going to be our permanent dwelling place. That's just a resting place. That's just a layover. Because where's our permanent residence, beloved? It's in glory. It's in heaven. So the grave, if graves could talk one day, the grave's going to say, gotcha. But guess what? One day, if God wills that it's appointed unto man once to die, and they put me there, one day my Lord is going to call, and if I think of it, I'm going to say as I'm leaving, you just thought you had me. And I'm going to be out of there. Isn't this great? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in light of all this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We think back what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, for our conversation, our life, our place where we really belong, it's in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, here it is again, I might not die, but I can say for certain I will be changed. And here he says it, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. How do I know it's going to have? Because we used to sing, he's able, I know he is able. Our Lord is able to change that and bring that all about. Well, thank the Lord for this first truth, but let's move on. If you're taking notes, number two, I can say for certain that I will give an account of my life in the future. How's that one sound to you? That one kind of sounds, I don't know about that one. I will give an account of my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice verse 10. It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here's how we know that we will give an account of our lives and we will stand before the Lord. Because nobody's going to miss that one. Nobody is going to be overlooked. And as we think about the believer and what's it going to be like as we give an account of our lives, Paul gave us some details, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says here in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or it's going to be shown up really for what it is. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. Paul is now giving us some details. What's going to happen when 2 Corinthians 5:10, we appear before the Lord and give an account of our lives? Our works will be tested. What do you mean? What kind of works? What we have done for the Lord after we've accepted Him as our own personal Savior. Are you looking forward to that day? Have you laid up in store a lot of treasure where moth and rust doth not corrupt, or a thief break through and steal? Have you stored up a lot of things for that coming day? Well, it's going to be tested by fire to find out. Man looked on the outward appearance, but God was looking on your heart during your life as a Christian. And God says, let's just see what it really was. If any man's work abide, verse 14, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Is he going to lose his salvation? Is a person's salvation going to be in jeopardy? How do you know that? Somebody says, I believe you can lose your salvation. What do you have to come back? Can I show you what it says in the Word of God, my friend? All of our works may be burned up, but what does it say in verse 15? If the works shall be burned, he shall suffer a lot. There won't be any reward for whatever was classified as wood, hay, or stubble, because that cannot withstand fire. Gold, silver, and precious stone is untouched, or like gold and silver, fire only does what? It purifies it. Precious stones, they don't burn up. Fire can't touch them. But if his works are burned up, and what a tragedy it's going to be for some believers. Their life's work. And everybody thought they were doing such a good job for the Lord. And the Lord says, you might have fooled them, but you didn't fool me. I know what your motive was. And let's put the fire to it and test it. It's going to be a tragedy to see the works burned up, because there goes the chance of receiving any reward for service for the Lord. The works burn, but what's it say about his soul? Verse 15, but he himself shall be what? Saved. Don't buy into this that you can lose your salvation. Even the fire of the judgment seat of Christ for the believer is not going to touch the soul of a true believer. They might see their whole life's work, everything they thought was going to please the Lord, go up in smoke. But you know what? They won't. They'll suffer loss. And we find here, I can say for certainty, I will give an account of my life. I've been talking about the believer. Are the lost excused? Do they get off scot-free? No. No unsaved person will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, of which we've been talking in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. No unsaved person will be at the judgment seat of Christ, but there is a judgment coming for the unsaved, and they too will give an account of their life. Where, if not the judgment seat of Christ? Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we begin at verse 11. For them, they will appear before the great white throne. That is not the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. It was so, Jonathan, the word you were talking about this morning. You talk about awesome and the proper sense of the one who sits on the great white throne. If heaven and earth could escape standing there, it would. But notice what it says at the end of verse 11. There was found no place for them. That's awesome. This is God sitting on the throne. And I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. God keeps a record of every one of us. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Nobody is going to escape this one that doesn't know the Lord as their own personal Savior. Here is every unsaved person's day in the future. And we can say with certainty, every unsaved person will give an account of their life. And what were they judged by? According to those things which were written in the books according to their works. What have you done with your life? Look at all the opportunities you had to repent of your sin and receive salvation through Jesus Christ. And you mocked it. You laughed at it. You said, no, thank you. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death, or the grave, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And you know what? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You can be sure, beloved, at the great white throne, there's going to be a lot of recitation of, but God, I did this for you. God, I went to church all those. God, I prayed. God, I gave so much money. God, this, God, that. They are going to be judged according to their works. And like it says in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, the Lord is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, you had religion, but you didn't have a real relationship with me. There's a world of difference between religion or relationship. So many people say, I know God. Do you know Him in a religious way, or do you have a personal relationship with Him? Are you one-on-one with Him? Do you enjoy getting into His Word? Do you have time daily where you spend with Him in prayer? Here's the people, and they're going to be judged according to all the religious repetition and all of the remembrance of God. You remember me. I was christened. I was sprinkled. I went through catechism class, and I did all that. But you never received my gift of forgiveness and everlasting life. I'm sorry. I don't know you. None of your works. None of your works. They're going to be judged according to their works. In verse 14, Revelation 20, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book of life? The only names in the book of life are the names of those who have, by faith, trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. Those are the ones whose names are written there. If you've trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you haven't, you've got some false hopes as we think about the future. So, what will I do? Are there some things that I can say for certain? I don't know everything about the future, but I can know for certain I might not die. But whether I die or not, I know that I will be changed by the Lord Himself. And whoever I am, because nobody is going to avoid this one, I will give an account of my life to receive reward as a believer. For any works which withstood the fire at the judgment seat of Christ, or tragically for all unsaved who stand at that great white throne, they're going to hear those awful words, "You're not one of mine, I've never known you." And they're going to hear their doom. You're to be cast into the lake of fire, and there you will be eternally. Well, that old clock goes fast, doesn't it? We've only got two of the four. Will you come back next week? If you want to hear the other two, I could tell you what they are, but I'm just going to keep you hanging, okay? Why don't we close with prayer and ask the Lord to bless His Word to our hearts? And let's stand as we close, shall we? Father, we do want to thank You for these truths that are not something man-made that has no biblical support, like multitudes are captivated by some religions that have all kinds of man-made rules, but they're not truth from your word. I just pray, Lord, that you would drive home these truths into our hearts and that it would be meaningful to us, that this wouldn't be just head facts, but we might stop and realize how this applies to us and what a blessing it is to know you as our own personal Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would bless even in the fellowship time as we gather around the table. We pray that you would nourish our bodies with the food that has been provided. And then as folks begin to head their separate ways, we pray that you would take each one safely home. And we'll thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. Lord bless you.